Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Back and glad you are with us. We have reached the second half of the show on a Monday and still plenty of time for you to call in. We'll take to talk to David Ubbin, bottom of the hour. We will also have the TOL crew in here in the final hour. Your phone calls continue right now. And David is in Georgia. Good afternoon, David.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, buddy?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Hey, the reason I was calling, I guess all the criticism and so forth to Brian Kelly's kitchen. I just retired after 36 years as a football coach, coached at pretty much all levels, from middle school, high school, college, and so forth. But anyway, I guess my role on Saturday is pretty much just to watch the game, and I don't really second-guess any of the coaches' calls because I understand what goes into a game plan and everything that takes place in that regard. And I think the comments that Coach Kelly made at halftime were pretty appropriate, straight to the point, and actually pretty accurate. If somebody had stuck a microphone in front of my face at halftime of any game I ever coached as a head coach, I guess, you know, you want the truth, and, you know, when you speak the truth, I mean, sometimes you have to live by it and so forth. But anyway, I'm not a big Brian Kelly fan or Notre Dame fan or LSU fan. I'm from Georgia. Played at Georgia Southern, played for Art Russell, and coached for 36 years here in Georgia. And, you know, I guess a lot of the criticism and so forth that coaches catch after the fact is, you know, unwarranted, I guess.
Let me ask you a question, David, because it's easy for all of us, and I'm guiltier than anyone most of the time, but when you make a decision, 2 points or one, is that normally made before the game? Is there circumstances where you do this or that?
Paul, are you talking about going for two?
Yeah,
going for two?
I mean, that's not a decision you haven't thought about, is it?
No. And I guess the basis of my call was pretty much the comment that he made immediately after halftime.
I was more curious about the game plan. Is that you sit around and you go, if this happens or that happens, what do we do?
Yeah, I think all that's premeditated. I mean, we got a plan for everything in every situation, or you like to think you have, and then get in there on Sunday, or in high school it has to be on Saturday, and, you know, you start looking back over the game, and you go through these circumstances, and you want to try to correct those, not just as a player, but as a coach as well.
Well, now that you're not coaching, how do you watch the games? I mean, are you can you observe them casually, or as a coach, are you involved in everything that goes on?
Well, I keep it in my mind. We had a crowd full watching the Georgia game Saturday, and, you know, both my kids went to Georgia, and I'm a Georgia fan, even though I went to Georgia Southern. But I just keep my comments to myself. Okay. I watch, you know, the internal line and so forth, and, you know, I'm just a fan now. I'm not one of those guys that, you know, the coaches, I know the time and energy that goes into making out a game plan, and I know that the plays that they call and the defenses that they're in and so forth are not just knee-jerk decisions. They're things that are well thought of, and especially the money that those guys are getting paid.
Sure. David, I'll say one more thing before you go. I had the opportunity to get to know Coach Russell early in my career, late in his, and not a finer man and really a better coach. I mean, he came so close to being the Georgia coach, and quite frankly, I never thought he got the – I mean, I know he got a lot of credit for what he did at Southern, But I felt like he deserved a lot more credit overall by people for what he did over in his entire career. You know that, but a lot of people don't.
No doubt. And Paul, I'd like to take this as an opportunity, just as a having played for Ert and having coached at Georgia Southern the 95 and 96 season. I mean, Ert deserves to be in the Georgia Football College Hall of Fame.
I totally agree.
And so if there's a petition going around that people can cast a vote his way, I mean, God rest his soul, he deserves to be in there.
He sure does. David, yeah, I was in Atlanta this year at the College Football Hall of Fame. I can't remember who came up to me representing that interest, and I said something similar, and I didn't play for him. I only had a chance to meet him. But he absolutely deserves to be in that hall and pretty much every other hall that's ever made. He was that great of a coach. And I know Vince Dooley could attest to that, and so could any of the players like you who played for him and worked with him. Thank you very much for the call. Aaron is in North Carolina. Go right ahead. Didn't hear Aaron, so we will try Michael up next. Hey, Michael.
How you doing, Mr. Paul?
Hey there.
First time call. I'm a first time call. I've been trying to call for the past 2 weeks. Every time I get off of work, I work at Mercedes up in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, sure.
And I've been calling every day. But like I said, I got through a few times, but I guess by the time anything can get in the calls, I guess the show had went off. But my question is, Mr. Paul, is I don't remember the guy's name from Michigan, the defensive end. I already feel like that Will Anderson got the bad end of the stick last year for not being even
up. What was his name? Hutchinson? I think it was Hutchinson.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Hutchinson from Michigan. I feel like that Will Anderson got the bad end of the stick because he didn't get a mention. Well, he did get a mention, but he wasn't one of the top finalists last year for the Heisman, and his stats was better than the guy from Michigan, you know. And my thing is, if Will Anderson have a season like he did last year or even better, do you think that he would even, you know, with the voting, the people that's over the voting, like, were they, like, I don't know what happened to them last year. I don't know if they went out and had drinks the night before.
Michael, let me answer it this way. Being a Heisman voter, one of many thousands, I might add,
yes, sir.
There's a reluctance to vote for somebody who's already won it because of the Archie Griffin situation. And I frankly think Will Anderson's in a great spot. What he did Saturday on that one play.
Yes, sir.
You'll see that 1,000 times this year. And I would say if he continues doing what we both know he will continue doing, not only will he be on the front row, I think he's got a legitimate shot. You know, he and Bryce will cancel each other out a little bit, but I think he's. Hey, by the way, that Mercedes plant in Vance is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. If you're working there, that's a great job. I know that.
Yes, sir.
Well, you take care of yourself and stay in touch with us, Michael. You be well. Let's continue with Trey, who is up next. Hey, Trey.
Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
So, as an Auburn fan, I was just wanting to know, and I'm a first-time caller, so I appreciate you letting me on your talk show. Robbie Ashford or T.J. Finley?
Don't think it matters yet, Trey. It will matter soon, though. I think there's one more week, and I think this opponent will be better than the last one, which isn't saying anything, by the way.
Right.
And I'm guessing Brian Harsin will let it flow a little bit more evenly this weekend. And I know the weather had an effect on everything, but that's part of college football. It's part of football in general. So
right.
I think I would let I wouldn't I don't mind him giving Finley the starting job, but ultimately I think we're going to see a lot more of Ashford. You be well. You take care of yourself. Thank you for the call. Let's continue right now. And Jared is in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jared.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Happy Labor Day to everyone.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm a big LSU fan. Called you a few years ago back when we were winning the national championship. But watching last night, I kind of went in with an open mind. You know, you have new coaches coming from an area. He's coming down from an area, doesn't know the South. But what was amazing was the players who just didn't have weren't doing basic football things all throughout the game. I can pick numbers out. The whole left side, guard and tackle on the offense of line were like revolving doors. And that's where the two blocked field goals came in. And they went and put number 86, a tight end who's brand new, and he's making moves like to go out and stop the outside guy. He opens up the middle of the line, and they block the kick. I mean, that's kind of high school stuff. I just don't understand.
Jerry, a lot of people will want to blame Ed Ogeron for everything, which is fine. But ultimately, this is on Brian Kelly. The players aren't on him, but you don't have to have five stars to spend time on special teams. I mean, that's a fundamental part of football, like you said. And it even if it was so bad, and he obviously had to know, then it brings more into question your decision to chance it on a point after.
Correct. Yeah, and that what's his name, the wide receiver Butte. I was so angry. He started pouting. And the minute he pouted, he was wide open and decided to not run a pattern.
Jared,
and the quarterback threw it perfectly to him. And
you nailed what I think has been a problem. And
that's coaching.
And it may not be going away anytime soon. And he's the best player on the team by far. And Brian Kelly tried to deal with him, and he was seemingly successful until the first game. And, you know, this is a different era now. This isn't yesteryear when you could challenge a player with playing time. That guy doesn't care. He's going to be a first-round pick regardless of what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, if he doesn't like the coach, he'll get in the transfer portal and leave.
He's probably checking to see if he can go to Alabama for the rest of the season.
Well, I'm still an LSU fan, and I love your show. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't know. We talk about, NIL has been great. Everybody loves it. But there are some consequences. And how Brian Kelly has dealt with Butte is one of the ones that I think everyone is interested in. We'll talk more about that throughout the rest of the show. And we are coming right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, it's been a pretty calm show. We had the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference on earlier. And some more chatter coming up here in a few minutes about the national scene. A lot of really great calls. And now it's time for the show to begin. Legend is up next.
Woo! It's always an honor, baby, to talk.
Legend
of the SEC.
The one and only.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Just listening to a lot of the Bayou Bengal fans trying to figure things out. A lot of other fans are feeling pretty good. What do you think?
Well, I'd like to give you a couple legendary thoughts on week number one, if you don't mind.
I would love to hear some.
Thought number one, Brian Kelly, top five coach, my ass.
Seems like you warned me about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. I told you, man. I told you you could easily name five coaches better than Brian Kelly. And here's the thing, Paul. The coach in the SEC, you got to have big kahunas, baby. You got to have some Godzilla kahunas. You can't be walking around with no marbles as kahunas and make it in the SEC. And last night, by some miracle, it really wasn't a miracle other than the fact that the FSU coach is almost as bad as Brian Kelly. That was the worst coaching performance, Mike Novell, that I've ever seen, dude. Pitching the ball sideways on third and one at the goal line. Brilliant. I mean, you are a bad coach as well. So let's get that right, FSU. But the pitch it sideways, I mean, that was just pitiful. But to have a chance to win the game with a two-point conversion after some miracle even being in the game, then don't go for it. Your kahunas are the size of marbles, Brian Kelly. Never going to make it, Paul. This is an epic mistake by a great university that just throws away $10 million a year on a Yankee acting like a hillbilly that can't coach. Now for my next thought. Ohio State, not impressed. Hey, Paul, when your coach has to tell you before the game that you are soft, that the whole nation says you got talent, but you are soft, and then you go out and barely beat an average Notre Dame team, not a good team. That's an average football team, barely. Not impressed, Ohio State. Let me tell you what time it is, Ohio State, in the jungle. You're soon going to be dinner. Woo! That's right. Week one, baby. Week one. Now on to my next thought, Paul. Stetson Bennett, the elf on the shelf. Let me tell you something, Stetson Bennett. You beat a Sky 12 team, dude. You beat a Sky 12 team. That's not even I don't even know what that is. You got Bo Pick, not Bo Nix, but Bo Pick out there throwing just balls to the other team like he's colorblind or something. Let me tell you something, Elf on a Shelf, and that idiot that put $100 on you to win the Heisman Trophy, you'll never see New York, dude. Never see New York. You got a gum Godzilla in this jungle waiting on you. Beat all those teams you want to. In the end, you're going to have to deal with the king. Now, my last stop, Texas. Get ready for Seth Curry, a.k.a. Bryce Young, and the Black Hat Posse coming to Athens with an SEC welcome. I'm going to curb stomp you, Texas. I'm going to beat the hell out of you. I'm going to make you think that you ain't never want to get back on a football field again after Saturday. The revenge tour comes to Athens, and I'm fixing to destroy you and truly welcome you to the SEC. Woo! It's week one, baby! And tell that elf on the shelf, I'm waiting on you. Elvis has left the building.
That's a pretty good Labor Day take, wouldn't you say? Wow. Let's continue with more phone calls. Can you top that is the question. I doubt it, but we'll try. Gator is in Memphis.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Gator.
I'm calling out J.K., the Miami fan. He said that Florida and Georgia would both lose, and they both won. So he needs to put his man pants on and come out and on back on your show and admit that he was wrong and that he's just a Gator wannabe. That's all I can say, and that's all I got, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much for the call. We've had quite a show. I know people are busy on Labor Day doing whatever you do on Labor Day, but we thank you for making time for us, and we give you free entertainment presented, but the legend call did not cost anything. We're back with David Ubben returning to the show after a brief absence. Get his take on the national college football scene.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and some great games this weekend right here on the SEC Network. Wake in Vanderbilt. What's the average IQ of that game? Samford heads over to Samford Stadium, and Central Arkansas taking on the Rebels, and as well as Southern and LSU. David Ubben joining us. He's covered some of the bigger games of the first weekend. Great to have you back, David. I know we missed you. You took some time off to do what you're supposed to do, right?
Yes, there's a new member of the household, Paul. So it's been a big, long dad summer. But I appreciate the invite back. And it's nice to have games back and talking about stuff that just happened, not what we think will happen. It's always a little more fun that way.
And there's some breaking news. It looks like Brian Kelly has asked for a leave of absence after last night. Or actually, he has not, but he probably thought about it this morning. Let's start there because that's the game that everybody in the country is talking about. Your reaction to the evening in the Big Easy.
I mean, I thought coming in, those were two teams that, you know, big brands that are going to be a little down this year. And I think that's kind of what we saw. You know, we'll see if Florida State can make that, you know, into something that continues on for their season. But I think LSU, you know, you look at their depth, it's just not there this season. But they have a lot of talent. But, of course, you see Mason Smith. You know, you lose him early. You saw the impact there. The offensive line that LSU, you know, is trotting out there, it did not play the way that they'd like to play. And then when you're not getting that production from Kayshon Boutte, that's a problem too. And so, you know, LSU, they've got a really strong, you know, that top 10 or 15 players are about as almost as good as just about anybody in the league. But the depth is an issue. And then when your depth's an issue and you're not getting production out of those top line guys, you can lose to a lot of teams. And you saw LSU do that last night, Florida State. You know, they were the better team. You know, LSU almost pulled a rabbit out of their hat, but didn't manage that in the end.
In terms of the future this year, I mean, there were a lot of people thinking that LSU could get to 9 wins. I mean, we had some of the same, you know, your colleagues give us that prediction who covered the team.
I was not in that club.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is in that club anymore. But knowing what we all know in terms of who's next and what the schedule looks like—not who's next this week, but in a few weeks. What would a realistic expectation or adjustment be right now?
I mean, coming into the season, I thought they were closer to 5 or 6 wins, and I'd kind of live there now because I didn't think Florida State was going to be able to go into the Superdome and knock them off, but they did exactly that. So, you know, I thought it was going to be 5 or 6 wins if you beat Florida State. I thought once they get in the league play, it'd be too tough for them. You know, you get run down a little bit, and you know, I'm buying on Brian Kelly big picture, but I just didn't think they had the horses this year. They lost a lot in the transfer portal. I wasn't sure what you're going to get from Jaden Daniels. Putting all those pieces together was, you know, it's hard to walk in day one and just be good. It's hard to transition, no matter you know, how much Billy Napier seems to be making it look easy down in Gainesville right now. But I just think LSU had the horses, and I think we saw that on Sunday night.
Yeah, it changes the calculus because they have some games, you know, Tennessee, Auburn, other schools that you had to look at and go, man, that could be a really tough game. Now there's a reassessment. Let me get to Billy Napier right now, because if it hadn't been for what happened last night, we would all be talking obsessively about his first time out. Insane game. Who cares? They won. Your impressions?
I mean, I thought they were going to get pushed around on the line of scrimmage. You know, we kind of knew, hey, the potential's there for Anthony Richardson to have a huge night. Even, I think, the most optimistic people, I don't know that you could have foreseen what he brought to the table on Saturday in the Swamp. But I think the bigger thing to take away from it is it felt coming into the season like Florida might just be the Anthony Richardson show, and they'll go as far as he can take them. But they looked a lot better across the board on both lines. I thought they really proved something, because Utah brings back a ton. Utah, obviously known for toughness. I think Utah wanted to push them around. A big night from Tavion Thomas over there, but Florida held their own. You know, they competed on the line of scrimmage, went toe to toe with a really tough, really experienced team. And I think, you know, Anthony Richardson obviously is the big takeaway from that game. You know, he's felt like he could be knocking on the door, being a superstar. Never really got the trust and being able to open up the offense under Dan Mullen. And for a whole offseason, we've heard kind of Billy Napier kind of back or piggyback off of Dan Mullen of kind of tamping that down of, hey, you know, he's a kid. You know, we'll see what he's doing. But then he takes the field. And, I mean, Paul, I don't know how you watch that game and don't see a superstar. And that's the sky's the limit for what Anthony Richardson can do. But I think for Florida, big picture, for me, what I took away from it is I think they're going to be a lot better on the lines and a lot better defensively than I really expected coming into the season. And I did some research also. This is the fifth time since 1991 that Florida's come into the season unranked. The last two times that happened, they won 10 games. So it's looking like maybe another one of those is coming for the Gators.
You know, so many of the parlor games before the season consisted of who's the third best team in the SEC, and it was difficult to gauge. A lot of people went Kentucky, Tennessee, right up and down the list. And I realize this is an evolving situation, but today we know who the top two are. Who would be the third best team in the SEC?
I mean, I have a hard time not casting my vote for the Aggies, even if those could be famous last words, because the Aggies, I think, you know, are knocking on the door of the Chicago Cubs, you know, mantra of there's always next year because we're going to keep recruiting. But at the end of the day, I really do feel like A&M looks a lot like kind of early Georgia, where when you just keep recruiting at this level, at some point you're going to break through. And maybe they don't beat Alabama again, but they've already had, you know, 1-10 in one season. And I would vote for the Aggies, but I think certainly Florida is not a team that I would have entertained, you know, 3 days ago in that conversation. But I think they are now. So, you know, you look at the Aggies, you look at obviously Kentucky, Tennessee, and now Florida. And, Paul, don't overlook Mississippi State in this conversation either. They are getting no love coming into the season. But if Mississippi State is sitting here in December as the third best team in the SEC, people should not be surprised looking at what they bring back, what they can do. And then, of course, you know, their defense with Zach Arnett running the show there. They're really good on both lines. Don't sleep on the Bulldogs.
That's what we call a hot take in the world at ESPN. So we're glad you came on board, because we haven't had too many hot takes today. Those are some of the positives, and I know we haven't talked about Georgia and Alabama yet, but that's there's plenty of time for that. But who would you be most concerned about right now?
Between Georgia and Alabama?
No, in the entire SEC. Not Georgia and Alabama. Everyone after that.
Yeah, in the entire SEC. I mean, it's hard to not kind of come away from week one when there were so few question marks of not looking at LSU and wondering if they're going to be able to move the ball this year, if things aren't getting a little shaky. I mean, that was a weird performance from Kayshon Boutte, who we've seen be so fantastic and make so many plays, just sort of be a non-factor on a huge stage in a brand-new offense, and I think it was a frustrating night for him. I think I came away from week one, I think he got a point to LSU as the team that, you know, this could be kind of a rough go in year one for Brian Kelly.
And And listen, you know, we've all said the same thing about Brian Kelly. Not to obsess over him, but let's go ahead and obsess over Brian Kelly. But it just seemed like there was, whether it was Schadenfreude or whatever today, so many people are rooting against him, as, in addition to Notre Dame fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you have the lasting image of the sort of red-faced screaming on the sideline at Notre Dame. You have the jokes about my family. You have the dancing gifts. I mean, I think people just sort of were kind of laughing all offseason. I think people recognize that Brian Kelly is a great coach, but I think the fit of coming into Louisiana, being a guy from the outside, and I think across the SEC, I don't know if you've experienced this, Paul, too, but I think there's an element of, oh, well, you did that at Notre Dame, but you can't do it down here. It's a different ball game down here. Never mind the fact that he's taking over one of the best programs in the country and in the conference. So, yeah, I think it's an element of all those things together that seem to make people revel in their failure. And not only failure, but a rather spectacular failure, a game where your team looked really, really bad for most of the night, and then rallies late, and then loses in one of the more absurd fashions you're ever going to see in a game this season.
Yeah, and I'll just say that I was on one of the ESPN morning shows today, and yesterday I talked to the producer, and that game came up, and the producer said, well, we'll just show a couple of highlights and move on. And but as you know, and the whole country knows, that was the story of the morning.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter whether it was news shows, sports shows, and you just couldn't show those highlights enough because there were so many just bizarre and absurd moments. And whether it's fair or not to comment obsessively about the two-point conversion, that's how the game ended, or the non-coup two-point conversion. So finally, you were in Arkansas, I believe.
I was.
And that's a game that probably didn't get the attention it deserved. I mean, under normal circumstances, beating Cincinnati is a very big deal. Just ask Brian Kelly, the person we've been talking about, a great deal.
Yeah, well, I think that's a credit to Arkansas because it wasn't a very dramatic game. Arkansas controlled that thing from start to finish. There were a couple little wobbly moments, but there was never much of a time in that game where you could watch and say, oh, I think Cincinnati's going to win this ball game. Arkansas did a good job of controlling the line of scrimmage, controlling the pace of that game, made a couple errors, and took advantage of the mistakes that Cincinnati made, a couple missed field goals, a couple, you know, bad interception there early on. And I think that's kind of, again, a credit to Arkansas. And then, of course, the finale basically did the anti-LSU of closing it out in the most undramatic way possible. They get the ball with a touchdown lead and 5:49 to go, and they run the ball 10 times, don't throw it, and Cincinnati doesn't get to touch it. And I thought Sam Pittman was going to fly off the podium after the game as an old offensive line coach. Gave Arkansas offensive line coach Cody Kennedy a shout out. And so, yeah, not a lot of people were talking about that, I think in part because it wasn't as compelling of a game as some of the others we saw across the country because Arkansas controlled it and kept the drama out.
Well done. David Ubben back on the program and great content and great conversation. We are heading to the break here. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We began a couple hours ago with the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. We spent about 30 minutes talking to him about the weekend and the CFP, and we'll talk to you right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Labor Day, a day to hang out by the pool, to maybe have your final lake or beach visit, or if you're just an Alabama fan in Shelby, Alabama, to crunch your beer cans after you drink them while watching the Feinbaum Show. Right, Larry?
Hey, my brother, what's up?
Larry, your team is 1-0. Congratulations.
Woo! Man, I bombed out on Oregon.
You did what?
Man, I bet 20 on it. Remember, I told you, I got 16 points.
I thought it was a decent bet. I'm sorry about that. So you can double it back by betting on Texas this week.
No, I ain't no doing that. I don't
think that's too many points, Larry. I think that's, don't you think that's too many points? 19.5 or whatever it is?
Yeah, I think that is. I think people are forgetting. The first thing I want to say is I was the first one that said when what's his name wasn't no top five coach, Brian Kelly. Okay.
I think Legend said it, didn't he?
No, I said it first.
Oh, okay. Do you have proof of that?
No. Woo! No, I said it first. The real word. The real word.
Well, let me say I said it first that he was. So.
No. What? No, no, no. Let me tell you something. Being number six ain't bad, Paul. But Texas has got a coach that knows what Saban thinks. He was an offensive coordinator, man.
Has it helped Lane Kiffin beat Nick Saban?
No, you're right there. But Lane Kiffin, he's afraid to beat him. He's afraid. He doesn't want to beat Nick Saban.
Remember last year in Tuscaloosa, right before the game, he said, "Get your popcorn ready."
He loves running.
I think
mouth,
he thought he was going to win. Get your popcorn. I mean, by the way, you don't say get your popcorn ready if you're going to get your head crushed.
Yeah, and get your Bud Light out the drill.
Yeah,
forward.
I remember that. Kiffin was like, he was ready to beat the old guy.
You know, man, I swear to God, that's the truth. And I believe that Auburn is headed down the same old road. I feel bad for him, man. I really do. I feel bad for him. And really and truly, Brian Kelly, the two-point deal and all that. Come on,
I think we're overreacting on Brian Kelly. I mean, I think he's
– Yeah, he, I do, too. He, what,
Brian and Kelly he is making that. Sure that expectations don't get out of control.
Hey,
win five or six games and say, "Hey, listen, Ogeron left me a garbage dump, and so give me some time."
Yeah,
he's got a $100 million contract, so he's not trying to rush anything.
No, and I'm gonna tell you something.
That's why he played for overtime.
He's
afraid he's gonna win the game. why win a game and raise expectations when we can go to overtime and lose?
Yeah, and you still get paid.
You know what, Larry? That. How many times have you heard that, Randy? Still getting paid.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Got their check. Randy likes them checks. Well, I bet
on Labor Day of all things, most important thing.
Get your paycheck.
Getting that paycheck. George is in Gettysburg. Hello, George.
Good afternoon, kind sir. I just wanted to say, being a Penn State man, I was very impressed with Sam Pittman. I wish he was our coach of Penn State. And I think he's going to be the coach of the SEC this year. What he's done there and what he took over 2 years ago and what he's done, I was very impressed with that game the other day. I watched the whole game. And I think that guy is not only a great coach, but a gentleman. And I could see Arkansas obviously not winning the SEC West yet, but in a couple of years, I could see them winning 10, 11 games a year and really contending under that leadership of Sam Pittman. He's a hell of a coach.
I wish we had him here. He really is a phenomenal coach. And James Franklin, one of these days, will either prove right. I mean, the problem I have with James Franklin, he just doesn't. It doesn't go either way. It's always kind of in the middle. At Vanderbilt, he showed what he was capable of, but he is not. He's never been consistent in Happy Valley. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. Ed is in Georgia.
Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, Ed Chastain from Tallapoosa, Georgia. How
Ed,
are you doing today, sir?
Doing great.
Great. Hey, I got a few things I'd like to talk about before we talk about legends. Anyways, 14-1. What more needs to be said? The haters are going to hate and continue to hate. I tell you what, also the eastern side of the SEC took out what Bill Walton considers the Conference of Champions. I mean, whoo, had duck season and everything. But let's talk about legend. Come on, guy. The guy's crazy, Paul. I mean, come on. He's just mad because the defending champs is in Georgia, not in Alabama. and it looks like it's on another collision course.
Can you, and well, I'm can afraid you imagine if that happens?
Yes, the haters are going to hate. Wait until it goes to a 12-game playoff and we have 7 to 8 teams in it. Get ready, Nation. Everybody, the gentleman that was prior to me from Pennsylvania, he wants a piece of the SEC up in the Nation. They're all going to hate. But you know what? That's what you do when you can't compete. Brian Kelly, great coach. Winningest coach, Notre Dame. You can't take that away. That's very respectful. But it is a different breed down here. He's going to have to adjust. LSU will be back. Sam Pittman, Georgia man, great coach, going to do good things. I expect them to compete against Alabama this year. Paul?
Okay, we're heading to the break. We're coming right back.